This conference will now be recorded.
All right, I'll call a community development committee meeting to order on Monday, April 12th at 5:30. Dave, you want to do a roll call?
Sure. Councilmember Fagerly?
Here.
Councilmember Butterfield? Absent. Councilmember Davis?
Here.
And Councilmember O'Brien?
Here.
Three present, one absent.
All right. What is Mr. Runnigan here for?
We added a late agenda item for the acceptance of $23,000 grant from the FAA.
Okay.
It just came up at the last minute today, so we pinched it in. Hopefully the committee chair won't mind if we consider that this evening.
No, that's fine. Why don't we, since he's here, why don't we do that one first?
Sounds good.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and council members. Yeah, what we have today is a CAR for an acceptance of $23,000 of additional CARES money, essentially. This would be kind of a second round, so technically it's not called CARES money. It's got a different name. But where the confusion is, and I actually spoke with Lindsay Butler from the FAA this afternoon. She was able to get back to me. I received an email not long after February 12th that said we didn't need to respond unless we didn't want to accept the money. And that was only partially correct. We still needed to acknowledge the grant agreement with the FAA. And then once the grant agreement is acknowledged, then we don't need to respond for the money to be paid out through the state of Minnesota. So what we would be asking the committee for today would be approval to have the administrator and the county attorney, or I'm sorry, the city attorney, sign the grant agreement with the FAA for these additional COVID dollars. And again, the amount is $23,000. And this is a grant. It is not needing to be repaid.
All right. So what will that money be used for then?
Yeah, that the way that the state of Minnesota has decided to distribute this money, because all of our federal money for airports in the state needs to go through MnDOT. So we always operate at about a 50% deficit in our operations and maintenance agreement with the state of Minnesota. And so what this will be dedicated for is operations and maintenance at the airport. So essentially, normally we get reimbursed by the state to the tune of about $58,000 a year for operations and maintenance. This would actually go on top of some of that operations and maintenance money to make us more whole, as our normal expenditure is closer to $100,000 or $120,000 for the operations and maintenance. So that's a long answer, I apologize, but short and sweet for operations and maintenance on the airport. So that's snow removal, grass cutting, replacement of lights, janitorial work in the terminal building, things like that.
Okay. Any questions?
Chair?
Go ahead.
So staff is basically looking for a recommendation that the council adopt a resolution authorizing staff to accept the $23,000 grant from the FHA Airport Coronavirus Relief Grant Program.
All right, questions from the committee. So this money, if it's approved, do you have to share it with Public Works then, since they do some of the snow removal?
What happens is Public Works sends a bill to the airport, essentially, that we pay out of the airport fund, and this just reimburses the airport fund for that, for those dollars that we have already spent. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. O'Brien.
Did you have to file for this grant, or was this grant just handed to you through the COVID
This was one that was just handed to us, and that was part of the confusion. Because we were automatically eligible for it without having any input on our part, I had sent an email to Lindsay Butler, who's the acting director of our airports portion of the FAA, and she responded and said, we're good as long as we don't, as long as we want to accept the money, we're fine. Again, but that was not 100% right. We have to accept the grant agreement. And then once the money is expended, or once I turn in those receipts to show that we spent the money, then it will be transferred to our account. And so we did not apply for it. It was automatically given to us. However, we do need to sign this grant agreement in order to accept the, or to receive the money.
Yeah, we just received the agreement today, and it has a signature place for Brian. It also has a signature place for the city attorney, who has to attest that council approved receipt of the grant. So in order to do that, we need to run it through the council.
That's it. All right. Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion?
We approved the grant for $23,000 from the FFA to the Airport Economist Relief Grant.
All right. Got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Further discussion. Dave, can we have roll call?
Sure. Councilmember Fagerly?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
And Councilmember O'Brien?
Aye.
Ayes have it.
All right, that's approved. Good luck, Eric.
Thank you all. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, next item is the draft for the RFP for a new hospital hotel. Information only. David.
All right. Well, with me tonight is Alyssa Harrington of our city attorney's office. And to answer any technical questions you may have, really what we're looking for is we're just looking for consensus to move forward with vetting the RFP with Caris Health. We didn't want to approach Caris Health as a board or officially until we had committee consensus to do so. I have reached out to Mr. Mike Schramm, the CEO of Caris Health. He did return my call today, and we had a pretty long conversation and cleared up a number of concerns that he had. And basically that this is still an open book in terms of, you know, what we can add, take out, edit. And so it's totally up to them to provide the feedback and any guidance and direction that they like. But since this is a city project and it will involve the city Renaissance Zone incentives, and it is a two-round deal, and just the extent of the project, we wanted to make sure that we received committee approval to go outside the city essentially and vet this thing and then bring it back to committee once we have what we would consider to be a final draft.
Questions from the committee? Mike?
Yes, the question I would have is this motel for guests of Rice only, or guests of the Caris Health system only, or is this for public as well?
It would be open to anybody, but it would be tailored, or it would be a specialty hotel. The idea is that it would be accessible to gurneys. The doors would be wide enough for wheelchairs. You know, they'd have the automatic doors as appropriate, and that's where the idea for the skyway or tunnel came in, so that you could just have easy access without crossing the streets. But at the same time, you know, anybody could stay there, you know, but it would be kind of geared towards family members, outpatients, or even visiting doctors, or, you know, somebody that's transitioning to Wilmer could stay there. And also importantly, I should say, it is to help Wilmer's downtown. Wilmer had a hotel years ago,
couple of them.
It has it for quite some time, and we feel it would be a great amenity to the downtown area, especially as we start developing some of these other projects that are in our pipeline. You know, a lot of folks, when they come to visit locations, they like to stay in the downtown areas where they have everything within walking distance and they don't have to get in their cars. And so we think a downtown hotel would be a nice amenity for the area.
Would this be staffed with any medical personnel at all?
Yeah, that's that would have to be a question with Caris Health to see what they think, if there's any kind of synergy that they could set up. I mean, I don't even know if they really want it connected by Skyway or tunnel. They may refuse that aspect of it, which is a cost savings. But it's kind of up to them and how much connectivity they want to have with the hotel. And so that's a whole nother process to go through. And you know what? They may choose that they don't want anything to do with it at all. We're going to have to, you know, change our direction and make it a kind of a non-affiliated kind of a thing. So
thank you.
Melissa, did you want to?
You're on mute. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I think it looks great.
I guess I have one more question.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
The funding of this, is this going to be partially, quote unquote, the city, partially Caris, or how is all that shaken out? Who's going to pay for it, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a firm believer if the city is going to do something, that they do it, or if a private developer is going to do something, they do it. I don't really like that, the mixing of the two. In this instance, it would be totally and completely private development. We would be incentivizing it with the Renaissance Zone incentives, but they would pay for it, they would own it, and they would operate it. We would have nothing to do with it whatsoever. So basically, what we're doing is we're using the $600,000 to $800,000 worth of incentives that the Renaissance Zone has to try to bring somebody in to build this thing that we desire. And you know, taking the other hand, you know, I've seen cities like the city of St. Paul. They did a project called Penfield, which is a very large multifamily housing project in downtown St. Paul that has a Lund's grocery store on the ground floor. They, on the other hand, they funded the entire project. They built it. They held onto it for a few years. And once it hit solvency, they sold it and they made a pretty handsome revenues off of it. But, you know, those are the kind of two models I like to see. I like to see them kind of separate. And also, we have a project that just came through with a developer, a developer from Avon and a realtor from St. Cloud. That have come together and they have managed to piece together Block 25. And they are affiliated with a nonprofit. And so they were really attracted to the fact that we have an affordable housing component to our Renaissance Zone and that we're trying to develop sites that are challenges to develop. Frankly, you know, like the one that Block 25 is not only on the Highway 12 corridor, but it's also fronting the railroad. And so they really dove in and they managed to piece together all the lots on that block. And now they have rights to all of them. And so there are groups that with the right incentives and the right motivation that will come in and help the city achieve its objectives. And so that's where I like to go. I like to create the fertile ground that'll bring the developers in, not try to find them individually. I think it's far more productive. Sorry for the long.
Do you have a time frame on this? You have a goal of when you'd like to see this happen?
Well, the Renaissance Zone is a 5-year pilot program. Yep. So, you know, I'd like to see it before the end of that. But realistically, no. Caris Health can take as long as they like to review it and have conversations with us. obviously, if they stall out and things just aren't moving, I would take that as basically a no, and we could turn and try to maybe pursue the project in another direction at a different site or sites. But I would like to give them a large latitude to participate in this, and hopefully we can come to a consensus on how this project might happen. I think some of the biggest things for them, frankly, is the parking. Losing parking is a big deal. So, you know, and that is in our comp, that is in our things going on. That's not in the comp plan. That's in the RFP. That the project would have to provide a replacement parking level. Now, obviously, if they picked a site outside of one of these sites that didn't have, you know, Caris Health parking, well, then, you know, they might even have a parking reduction if they don't have to meet Caris Health parking because of the Renaissance Zone's incentivized parking policy. But the likelihood of the market supporting a no parking hotel is not likely to happen. So they will have parking no matter where they go. They'll have to have parking because that's just the market. But my point is that the Caris Health is going to want to ensure that their parking is still satisfied, that we're not taking a site that they could potentially expand into for one reason or another. And that we're probably, I think another one probably is that we're not compromising their security in any way. That's probably another concern. So cost-wise, I don't think there's going to be any cost to them whatsoever, but I do want to minimize negative impact in whatever form that takes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? So that parking lot now, it's owned by the city, and the city lets the hospital use it.
The one on First?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's the ideal site. And you're right, and they have a one-year restriction on that, as I understand. And so Caris Health would have to release us of that in some way in order for us to use that site. But I don't know if they'd be willing to, but maybe they would with the parking replacement. And if that parking replacement is, available to their staff and visitors and whomever else, you know, easy way. But yeah, that's the ideal. And then have either a tunnel or a skyway cutting across over to the hospital.
My concern is I don't think that's the best location for a hotel with a fire station across the street, ambulance garage on the same block.
Yeah.
Your helipad to the west.
That's a great point. As a matter of fact, the people that are developing Block 25, they were at first interested in I think it's Block 47, which is where the hospital's ambulance thing is. They were first interested in that, but once they discovered the fire station and the ambulance center, they moved away from that one. So you're absolutely right. But that's why we have five sites as listed on in the RFP.
Okay. What does the committee want to do? Endorse it or just go to the council for information only?
Actually, committee chair, what we're looking for is we're looking for a consensus to move it forward to Caris Health and then come back to committee.
Okay, I would recommend that we move it to Caris Health then. Is that what we do?
Well, for me, I'd be talking to them ahead of time to tell them what you have planned.
Right. So, I talked to Mike today. I've been trying to get a hold of Mr. Schramm for, almost a couple months. And I just talked to him today. And so this is at the beginning. We had to draft this in order for them to really provide, detailed feedback and be able to see the specifics of this thing. So we had to draw the plan in order to change the plan. This is at the very ground floor. They're getting to take a look at this. They're going to be able to tear it apart as much as they want. We can modify it as to meet whatever needs that they bring up. I'm not married to this plan in any way, shape, or form at this point.
Okay. Question. Mike?
You really don't need our okay to basically say information only, go ahead, continue to work with Mike Schramm. You wouldn't really need us to bring it back to council, would you, to do that?
Well, if we're going to make changes to it, we're going to want to bring it to committee and make sure that you're okay with the final draft before we take it to council. Yeah. And if Karis Health doesn't want anything to do with it, we have to spin in some other little direction with this thing. We'll also want to bring that back to you. But since this thing has the city's name on it currently, and it's a city proposal and it's going to go into private hands and get emailed to anybody, we wanted to be sure that we ran it past the committee first before it starts circulating around.
Okay. Vicki made a motion to forward it on to Karis Health. Is there a second? See that there's a second. I think it's dead at the present time.
Okay.
All right. Item four, application. Is this for Sarah then?
Yes, it is.
The 2021 Minnesota Main Street project.
Yep. Oh, there she is.
I've been on this whole time. I realized when I'm on my phone that it doesn't show that I'm here.
Oh.
But I've been here. Members of the Community Development Committee, this item for Wilmer Main Street is a reoccurring kind of annual grant that we received from RESOS, or that we have the ability to apply for through RESOS and Minnesota Main Street as a designated Main Street community. 2 years ago, we applied for and received these funds, and it helped support the business design workshop. That was a program between Wilmer Main Street, the EDC, the University of Minnesota, and then we had lots of other local like chambers and different things also support this class that we put on for small businesses. Really kind of along the premise that, you know, small business owners really get into owning a small business because of a passion probably that they have and may not have the kind of business or design knowledge to run a brick and mortar store. And so we worked with the design school at the University of Minnesota to bring in some experts and really just support and provide information and education to small businesses. Last year we had applied for and received the funds, but then because of the pandemic, the funds we pivoted and were able to actually provide directly to five businesses in downtown to support projects and infrastructure and maybe some things that they were able to buy as a business that supported them and their kind of awareness of their small business in downtown that they wouldn't have had money to do because of the pandemic otherwise. So we supported Hagen Orthotics, we supported the Barn Theater, Spurs got some money, Amin Grocery, and Royal Cuts Barbershop all received some funds because of that pivoting of money. This year, we are back to having applications open, and RESOS has actually increased the amount of money we're eligible for. So we're applying for the full $5,500, and we plan to use this money for downtown like infrastructure projects. So one thing that we've gotten a lot of really great feedback about is the Park Lets, or the ability for people to sit outside and eat downtown. It was much broader last year because of the pandemic than it had been in previous years, and people just loved the vibrancy that that brought to downtown. And so we're working on getting some quotes and kind of putting the final pieces together. There might be a portion of the Wilmer Main Street budget that we actually end up using towards this, but matching dollars are not required. So we could easily stay within that $5,500. But our plan is to buy materials for parklets to be built. So they'd actually be platforms that would sit curb height from the street, which is just, and have some like guardrails and different things. It's a little bit of a safer version than what we had last year with the picnic tables being directly on the street with the barricades around them. And these would be something that could be used over and over again by our small businesses downtown. And we might also purchase a few permanent garbage cans with some of this money too, but those ones are a little bit more expensive. So we might kind of, we're working on the final budget. It might just end up making it through the parklet for this particular pot of money. So would be staff recommendation to move forward with the resolution that authorizes staff to apply for and accept if awarded these dollars through Rethos and Minnesota Main Street.
All right. Any questions from the committee? So those garbage cans, they'll go on the new bump outs?
They could. They probably wouldn't be right on the bump outs. I think the bump outs are probably would be more suitable for things like flowers or art or different like more visible things, whereas the garbage cans probably are better located in front of some of the small businesses and things. But some of that information, right, of like best location and best practices will really come out of the work that Bolton and Mink will move forward with as well.
All right, thanks. Vicki, you had a question or you raised your hand?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for the grant. I'm just not sure how I feel about the parklets because it will take spots from people parking downtown. That's just my only concern.
We can certainly pivot to and just do garbage cans, permanent garbage cans. The parklets will be a removable thing, right? So it's only in the summer. There might be five of them. I think personally the feedback that we heard from people frequenting downtown and just seeing people using downtown, right, and being outside and frequenting these restaurants and the visibility and the excitement that people had around those, I think is worth the couple parking spots that we may or may not have during those few summer months.
All right. Mr. O'Brien.
Sarah, do you have designated restaurants that you're talking about where you're putting this, or is this going to be first come, first serve? How do you do this?
Yeah, we're working on getting quotes. So because of the pandemic, there's lots of different designs and kind of instructions, if you will, of different styles of parklets that could be built. And we've been talking with Public Works a little bit about the possibility of partnering with them and maybe having them help us construct them to just save on costs a little bit. Right now, Wilmer Main Street really exists to support all of downtown, right? So the closer we can get to having enough parklets, so as many restaurants as possible can use them would be great. We could also look at placing them maybe not directly in front of a restaurant and really just have them as like outdoor seating spaces. But if we didn't have enough, it would be on a first come, first serve basis at this point.
So you wouldn't have, if you did have a number of restaurants like Vicki was talking about, is this going to take up a lot of parking area then, Sarah, down there?
We have 11 restaurants, and I will tell you, last year not every single restaurant wanted to have outdoor seating space, and so we had, let's see, 4, five, we probably had about half, I would say, that actually ended up utilizing the outdoor seating space. And I think of those, I think five or six would consistently like to keep that from the conversations that I've had from them. So I would anticipate five or six.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
What would the council like to do? Adopt the motion? Decline it?
I would like to recommend that the City Council accept a resolution authorizing staff to apply for and accept, if awarded, a 2021 Project Assistant Funds grant through Rethos and Minnesota Main Street in the amount of $5,500.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Further discussion? David, can we have a roll call?
You might be muted.
You're muted.
I thought you were muted. Councilmember Fagerly?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
And Councilmember O'Brien?
Aye.
Three yeas, the yeas have it.
All right. Congratulations, Sarah. See what happens Monday. I'm sure it'll be fine. All right, future agenda items. You have something, Dave, or?
With Sarah's departure on the 27th, I want to wish her the best. She's been absolutely fantastic and a huge help in a lot of our new initiatives with the Renaissance Zone and the comp plan, and even with the hotel RFP that we were working on. And as sad as I am to see her go, I'm also happy that she's getting this promotion and is going to continue working with us on business development across Wilmer.
Yeah, we're sorry to see you go. You've done a great job.
Did we refuse your retirement?
Just kidding, sir.
Yeah, we haven't seen her letter of resignation yet.
You may have missed that email.
Oh, yeah, I saw it in the paper. I didn't see the email. But you'll still be working with us.
Definitely. You have not seen the last of me, that's for sure.
That's good. All right.
And then also, we have a couple of fantastic nibbles on the line for the Renaissance Zone. We probably have about three or four developers that are interested in various sites around the area. And I mentioned one that we have a group out of Avon and St. Cloud that have a purchase agreement with the lot with the improvement on it, the Quonset on it. And they also secured the center of the block. And they have a letter of intent with us for the other half of the block through the Renaissance Zone program. So they're just starting their due diligence with environmental assessment and market studies and starting their schematic design on their project. So probably in the next few months, we'll start seeing that project brought to committee and the Planning Commission. And the land sale from the city will go through Planning Commission and Council too. Probably in the next month or so.
That'll be good. Mr. O'Brien, you have a question?
You haven't released what the business is yet?
Oh, it's going to be like a 50-plus unit multifamily housing development, apartment building.
Okay.
All right. And any department updates other than Sarah?
Sarah's working on her standard operating procedures so we can all start taking over her role. And so we're going to try to figure out how to divvy that out. The rental licensing program is restarting And we're doing virtual inspections for the time being. And LOGIS, all the data is finally entered into the new LOGIS rental system. So that was a huge lift by Lynn Schultz. And so now we can finally start to use that system. And Sarah, did you want to talk about your computer programs?
There's not too much to update at this point. We're moving forward. We've got a meeting that will kick off with ProOS to begin the development of some of that to make sure that the back end and the foundation of all of it is set properly. So we'll start that this week in preparation for all of the community uses for it and comp plan and all of that kind of stuff.
So will the EDC use that software too?
There'll be some, one particular application of it will have two-way communication with other organizations in town. So not just the EDC, but, you know, the chamber, Vision 2040, council members, different things like that. So that would be one way that the EDC can plug in. The 3D software, mapping software, has some interaction ability with it. I really see that as kind of the solution to empower others to kind of think about site plans and what might be possible at some site plans, like with our zoning and different things. It'll really help alleviate some of the staff questions and different things and just help people kind of think creatively about sites that might be available in town. So I think that would be another great resource that other organizations will be able to use as well.
Mr. O'Brien.
Sarah, I was trying to remember your presentation. Isn't that computer capable of doing permits online as well?
There is a way to set that up. I think there's also an e-permitting ability with LOGIS. That might be some additional dollars. So we might look at how to make that solution happen with the ArcGIS. Instead of going through LOGIS just for money saving purposes. But that is a possibility. You know, it's a lot, being that the city hasn't ever set up or had GIS. ArcGIS like this in the past. There's a lot of back end and kind of foundational data management things that need to be set up. And so I think it's important to just do it right and do it one time and just take it one chunk at a time. But that's definitely a possibility in the near future for sure.
Thank you.
Anything else then?
That'll do it for us.
All right. Get a motion to adjourn.
No moved.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.